Keep on riding with us as we continue to broadcast the balance and defend the discourse from these Hip Hop Weekly studios. Welcome back to Civic Cypher. I am your host, Ramses Ja.
He is Ramses Ja. I can still be Q today.
All right.
I've been working on
stage
name.
I need some Q.
I'll be Q today.
All right. I need that. Okay. All right. Well, please stay tuned. If you missed out on the first part of the show, we were discussing how increases in police spending don't translate to decreases in crime rates. And we're going to spend this part of the show discussing some headlines, some stories of police corruption, overreach, brutality, what have you, that we haven't been able to get to the past few weeks just because we've been tackling other issues. So a lot to stick around for, and we hope that you do. But before we get to the meat and potatoes, we are going to discuss BABA, Becoming a Better Ally, BABA. Today's BABA comes courtesy of Friends of the Movement. You can sign up for the free voter wallet from FOTMGlobal.com to support Black businesses and allied businesses, as well as make an impact with your spending. Again, that's FOTMGlobal.com. And today I'm sharing from Black Enterprise. This is a fantastic example of becoming a better ally. Livingstone College has a very wealthy secret admirer. The North Carolina HBCU, that is historically Black college or university, has now received its third anonymous donation of $1 million. The three donations were given in less than a six-month period by the same anonymous party, as announced by the school's president, Dr. Anthony J. Davis, on March 11th. They are assumed to have been donated by a member of its extended community and are the largest ever received anonymously by Livingstone. The Christian-based HBCU received the first of the unrestricted donations in October of 2023. As shared by the president during its homecoming festivities, the donor sent the money with the message, quote, "I trust you will address the needs of the college," unquote. According to the Star of Zion, President Davis noted that its unrestricted nature will allow the school to address multiple needs. Quote, "Thank you. This type of contribution allows the college to allocate funds strategically by enhancing academic programs, expanding scholarship opportunities, and investing in innovative facilities and technologies." So, there's no two ways about it. Money shapes outcomes. On this show, we talk about police, we talk about political disenfranchisement, we talk about a ton of things that affect marginalized communities, but the primary driver behind all of these is economic empowerment. The importance of money cannot be understated. If you are in a position to donate, please donate, because money moves the needle.
I already said, one time for repudiation, one more time for reparations.
Listen, talk to him, Q. All right. First up, how about this? I'll read these. You give me what you got. Let's do it that way, dog. Yeah, man. All right. All of these are from the Black Information Network. For those that don't know, you can check out me and Q on the Black Information Network. During the week, we talk about, obviously, topics like these, but we talk about other topics as well. Q knows a lot of stuff, and I'm always in awe of his brilliance. I try to keep up.
I hope you guys don't listen to Ramses when he starts talking like this.
Anyway, it's all true. Anyway. All right. First up, a Louisiana police officer was caught on video putting an unarmed Black man in an illegal chokehold at a Boldine festival, according to attorneys. And according to KADN, Anthony Wayne Babino Jr. was waiting for a friend to bring him money to get into the Scott Bodine Festival earlier this month when an officer put him in a cardioid hold. Civil rights attorney Harry M. Daniels and Harry L. Daniels III said, citing video of the incident, "Officers are prohibited from using cardioid holds or restraints where the two main arteries that carry blood to the head and neck are restricted in the state of Louisiana unless authorities believe they or another person are at risk of harm." According to the attorneys, Babino was in clear physical distress and on the verge of passing out while placed in the cardioid hold. Attorneys identified the officer as Lieutenant Brune Laverne.
And that's carotid.
Carotid.
Because the carotid artery is what gets blocked when you're being choked out.
I told you he knows. Q knows this stuff, man. I'm just doing my best. All right. Daniel suggested the incident reflects a pattern of excessive force by Louisiana police. I'd go along with that, given the amount of stories that we cover out of Louisiana. Quote, "The insult to injury to this is that the guy is a training officer," Daniel said in a statement. He goes on to say, "He's a lieutenant. He's an officer, he's over the division, and he's responsible for the training of the officers. If he isn't, in fact, engaging in these matters, and this is not a one-off event, you can imagine how he's training the subordinates under him and what type of product is on the street in the city of Scott. Quote, if this is the kind of reckless brutality he's teaching to the younger officers, then this problem goes a lot deeper, the attorneys added. Per News One, Scott Police Chief Chad Ledger declined to comment on the video, but noted an investigation into the incident would launch on April 15th. All right. Both barrels, Q.
So the Scott police are going to launch an investigation into the Scott police to see if the Scott police be tripping and if there should be any consequence or punitive damages for said tripping. Is that what I'm understanding?
That's basically what it says.
The chief's statement was no comment, but we're going to look into ourselves.
You said something
to see if we be tripping.
You said something before. You said we have a clip on our social media. Follow us at Civic Cypher. But you said the police. What'd you say? The police. The police.
Police policing the police is crazy, bro. Because like even internal affairs is the police.
Yeah.
Right. So my uncle retired from the Detroit Police Department, Inspector Harold Scott, Chief Inspector, Internal Affairs, Detroit Police Department. He was Detroit policeman. He was Detroit Police Officer Harold Scott. He wasn't independent
community,
internal
yeah.
investigation services officer Harold Scott. No,
community
he was
oversight
Detroit
board.
Police Officer Harold Scott. And his job was to investigate the Detroit police. I think my uncle is incredible, but he was the police.
Yeah.
And his job was to investigate the police.
Yeah, there's a conflict there.
And that's just, he my uncle. He's actually the most honorable man probably in my whole life growing up. But as I say that out loud, it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
It sounds so obviously in conflict. Mm-hmm. So there's this thing that we figured out a way to do, Ramses, and this is not even really specific to this topic. But the thing that bugs me the most and that makes me the most fearful and the most hopeless and the most discouraged about this time in history and this time in our lives, because I still remember what the 80s, 90s were like.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of empathy and humanity in society at large is really, really, really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these stories, be it politics, be it, you know, geopolitical, be it war, be it law enforcement, is really just people saying, look, man, my name Bennett and I ain't in it. That ain't my son.
My name is Paul, and that's between y'all.
Yeah, that ain't my son. That ain't my house. That ain't my money. So that ain't my problem. So I kind of don't care.
Yeah.
About everything.
Yeah.
Right? Because some of this stuff that we're covering, man, like I leave here sick to my stomach and sad and discouraged. And like I said, hopeless, because there is no solution. There is no hope for a solution because so many people don't care anymore. Right? When we were young, what you used to be able to do to somebody that was tripping was shame them.
Mm.
You know, when I talk about our former president, that's the thing that went away with him the most.
Nobody got ashamed anymore.
You were ashamed to be outed as a racist once upon a time.
Yeah. Now you get a platform to
now
offer you. Yeah.
You the truth.
Yeah.
Right? Like the other party. And we pay attention to this more than most of the world, because this is what we do. They're not even, how do I say this? They're not even campaigning on any policy, like none.
Yeah.
They're campaigning on division and hate. They're just pointing at groups and encouraging you to hate.
Are you afraid of them? Are you fearful?
Us too.
Yeah. Let's click up. Vote for me.
It's like, wow, you're not even being politicians anymore. It's like full fear, hate mongering all the time. So it's like, I don't know, man. Watching empathy and humanity just deteriorate and go away. When we talk about stories like this, you know, you shouldn't do that to that man. because you know someone shouldn't do that to you. Like, it's not more complicated than that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be okay with that officer doing that to that man, because you wouldn't be okay with him doing it to you or your wife or your kids. You wouldn't be. You know you wouldn't be. But because the person he's doing it to looks like me, and you've decided that I'm worth less than you and that I'm by nature a criminal anyway, then I probably deserved it. Like, that's nuts.
Well, save some of that optimism that I hear in your voice for these other two stories.
You ain't heard no optimism from me.
No, just being funny. For those that might be newer to the show, Q is historically a little bit more realistic in his approach, and I tend to be a little bit more. We'll make it. I do believe that. And I know that we wouldn't make this show if we didn't, on some level, on some cellular level, think that we can all live in a better society at some point.
See, so. Rams's hopes. I wish.
Oh, I wish people knew the end of that statement. That's a very, very, that was a black moment in radio right now. Okay, it's inside. It's a community inside joke. I wish I could tell the rest of it, but anyway. All right, next up. It's also from the Black Information Network. Body camera footage shows the moments surrounding a black man dying in police custody at a Dallas hospital in 2022. Per CBS News, Kenneth Knotts, age 41, was driving from Houston to Dallas with a woman and two of his children on November 29, 2022, when his tire blew out in Hutchins, Texas, according to a complaint filed by attorney Jeff Henley. The situation caused Knotts to have a mental breakdown, his mom said, citing an account of the female passenger. Police found Knotts holding an infant on top of a vehicle at a convenience store on Interstate 45. Knotts was arrested and taken to UT Southwestern Medical Center for a psych evaluation. Body camera footage, which was released to the public last week, begins after Knotts attempted to escape the hospital. In the footage, Knotts pleaded for water as multiple officers held him down on a hospital bed. "I can't breathe," the man said at one point during the struggle. Knotts' body went completely still. "No pulse, no pulse," medical staff can be heard yelling in the video. Knotts was later pronounced dead. I saw this video, and it was a lot more sad than this account really would suggest. You could see a man that was clearly in distress, and you see a human being lose his life. Clearly afraid. At one moment, he's trying to move and trying to leave and he's asking for water and he's panicking.
It's important to note, he's trying to not die.
Yeah, he's not fighting anyway. He's not like wrestling or
even if he's fighting. "I can't breathe."
Yeah, that's,
and you won't let me breathe. So I'm going to try to do anything I can
to keep breathing,
to not pass away right now.
Yeah. And then in the next, I mean, I think there's a cut in the video, but just a couple of, I mean, the immediate next frame in the video is them, you know, when they pump your chest and they're saying out loud, 1, 2, 3. So it's kind of a sad result of the video. You would think, okay, let's get him some water, let's calm him down, let's get him restrained or whatever was going on there, but
it's not. He's subhuman.
Yeah, it's a
sad. He's bad by nature. He's criminal by nature. He's beneath me. Does not matter that he can't breathe. It does not matter that he needs water. It does not matter if he doesn't survive this. Because I'm going to be fine. I might get reassigned. I might get paid time off. I might have to be an officer at a different agency after this. But I'm going to be fine. And this is how I feel like treating him right now. So this is how I'm going to treat him right now. And Ramses and Q, and you, sir or ma'am, can be as upset as you want, but I'm protected. I have qualified immunity. I have a very strong union. And worst case scenario, I'll get a slap on the wrist. Or even if I lose my job, I won't. There won't be any real accountability or real penalty. And most likely, if I go over to the next city or the next county, I can get a job.
Yeah. I think that's what happened with the guy that ended up.
So why not treat people that I see as beneath me and not human and less than my dog anyway? Why not treat them terribly?
You know what's funny?
What's going to happen if I do?
You know what's funny? I'm glad you mentioned that. Oh, real quick. You mentioned officers going from one county over to the next county. I believe that's what happened with the officer. We covered a story recently. You may have heard of this story, either on this show or elsewhere. But we covered a story where an acorn fell off of a tree and landed on top of a police SUV. And the officer pulled out his gun and just emptied his clip into the gun, thinking that the handcuffed black man in the back seat had shot at him. But it was, of course, the acorn that fell from the tree. So he had his video, you know, the takes forever for those videos to come out just because police try to play those close to the chest and hope they fly under the radar. Anyway, right before they found their conclusions, he resigned. So he didn't technically get fired. So I suspect someone tipped him off. Hey, they're probably going to come down and fire you. So you should quit tonight so that it doesn't say that you're fired and then you can get employed elsewhere. And I think he ended up getting employed elsewhere. The other thing I was going to say had to do with this thing that I saw on this show that I used to watch a long time ago. I was watching a rerun recently, a show called Community. And there's a scene where they start talking about, they're talking about like racism in on the campus or in life or something like that. And then the subject switches to like someone was being cruel to an animal. And there was a white woman on the show. She's one of the characters. She goes, "Hey, you know what? I can excuse racism, but I draw the line at animal cruelty." And then the black woman in the scene, she goes, "You can excuse racism?" You know what I mean? And everyone has this moment. So shout out to the writers for, but I think real quick, and I want you to jump back in, but I think that for those that actually do watch this video again, Kenneth Knott, you can find the video on the Black Information Network's website. I don't recommend it. You're going to see a human being lose his life. But if for those that watch that video and think, yeah, he deserved it, or whatever it is you think, just imagine if this was happening to a dog, how would you feel? And why you don't feel that way about it happening to a black man. And I think that you'll see Q's point in that moment. Go ahead.
You saying that just kind of, I don't know if triggered is the right word, but kind of made me relapse to a moment in my own kind of subconscious conversation that I had to have with people close to me after our former president became president. And during his presidency, when people that I know and cared about would check me in his defense, there's a determination where you hear people say out loud, "Yes, I know he's a bigoted, sexist, yeah, racist jerk.
Yeah,
I know he's an awful human being." And you know that after they say all that, they're going to give you some type of qualifier to explain why he still has their support. Mm. And it's funny that you said that, because xenophobia, white supremacist, white nationalist, racist, bigot, you know, sexist. I'm trying to find more offensive things to say about him, which are all true. And none of them are disqualifiers. Yeah. For so many people, people that we know, people that we've come in contact with, people who we've had conversations with. It is a really, really troubling thing that some close to 100 million Americans proudly wear this man's name on their clothes, post pictures and flags of him on their houses and their cars. This identity politics with this person who they found such a strong and vitriol connection with.
Yeah.
It's scary, man. And he's what, how many indictments now?
Man, I lost count.
And none of those things,
it was 91 or something,
disqualify him.
Yeah, he's on criminal trial now. Former
for
president.
Being
criminal.
Well, you say former president, but he's the leader runner in the clubhouse now to be the next president.
Can I add something? Watch this. One of the things that I never really understood, and for the, because we do have a handful of conservative listeners and Republican voters that listen to our show every week. One of the things I never understood, and anybody who's hearing my voice, feel free to help me out. I have never in my life heard of a Ku Klux Klansman voting for Democrat, not in modern history, right?
Yeah, I've never heard of this version of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, yeah. I've never heard of an Aryan Nation or skinhead or a Nazi voting for a Democrat. All of those people, and the people that aren't, they don't technically fit into those groups, but they feel a lot of the ways that they feel, basically racist people, they don't vote this way. They vote that way. In other words, conservatism encompasses all of these hate groups, and bona fide hate groups.
MAGA encompasses it more.
So watch this. So watch what I'm going to say. Me, Ramses, if I had to cast a vote and I knew that I was under the same umbrella as those people, I would seriously reevaluate how I want to be remembered in the world. Am I shaping a world that benefits people like that? Like, it's,
of course I am. I'm voting with and like them.
So, but I think that, you know, because sometimes we'll say, you know, there are some Republican people and a lot of Republican people and a lot of conservative people. They're good people. But at a point, you have to reconcile that, I'd imagine. Real quick, I'm going to get this last one off before we go. I'm just going to read it real quick. This last one comes from the Black Information Network, of course. A Tallahassee, Florida police officer appeared to be caught on camera opening a sealed bottle of alcohol and planting it as evidence to charge a Black man with a DUI. Per Our Tallahassee, Calvin Riley Sr., age 56, was pulled over for a routine traffic stop in May 2023 when police discovered he was driving with a suspended license. In Florida, officers can decide whether to ticket or arrest somebody driving with a suspended license, according to Our Tallahassee. However, if they discover a second offense, police are required to conduct an arrest. Body camera footage shows Tallahassee Police Department officer Kirsten Oliver speaking to Riley before calling another for backup on suspicion that he smelt like marijuana. Police then asked the man to perform a voluntary sobriety test, to which he refused. Officers detained the man and put him back in the police car while searching his car. Authorities found no marijuana, but Oliver discovered a sealed bottle of liquor. The officer proceeded to break the seal, dump the liquor out on the street, and then plant the empty bottle back in the car. Video shows Oliver suggesting the bottle was already open and the man had the alcohol cup in his vehicle. So, we can't react to that one, of course, so save your thoughts, Q, or maybe share them online and the people will get it, but we have to leave it right there. But that's it for us today on Civic Cypher. So thank you for tuning in and hopefully growing a little bit of with us here today. Once again, I've been your host, Ramses Ja.
He's Ramses. I'm trying to keep hope alive, and I am struggling to do so.
That's why we're a team, man. We do it together. It's okay. Sometimes I have those moments and you're there for me. So and you know what, we have a ton of really amazing listeners that are there for us as well. And if you want to become one of those listeners, or become a better listener, a better supporter while we try to do this good work, you can do so online throughout the week. Please subscribe to our YouTube. It's at Civic Cypher. All of our social media is at Civic Cypher. Our website, civiccypher.com. You can make a donation. Again, money moves the needle. You can also suggest topics or submit comments or whatever, and we'll be back next week. But until then, y'all,
peace.